It is great to see you this morning, and it's been great to these past 4 weeks as we have walked through the life of Elijah and this like kind of seeing then how we again can better fashion our lives in seeing the mission that God has for each of us. And so hopefully these sermons this past 4 weeks has been beneficial for all of us to see how we then can find our fit in God's mission. And then today, in the second half of our sermon time, we're gonna bring up two dear people from the Crossroads body to kind of share some of their stories in finding their fit in God's mission. So that's gonna be looking forward to that here in a few minutes. Well, today's message is really pretty simple. There's but one big point. It's out of the overflow of God's love through Jesus that we are all made to bring heaven to earth. And as we are on mission with him in our generation. So let's look at one final moment with Elijah, with a special meeting that he has with Jesus and a few other folks. In Matthew 17, Jesus is getting close to the time of his arrest, and his most challenging days are getting very near. So with Jesus' imminent crucifixion and death, the Father initiated this very special time to be with Jesus. So let's look now at Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before him Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Whew! Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." So when the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground and they were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up, don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Whew, that is not an average day fishing on the Sea of Galilee or at the office. So in this meeting, Jesus hears words of love from his Father, just as we all long to hear words of love from our parents and people that are important to us. Now, Moses and Elijah were two of the most revered people in ancient Israel. Jesus, having this moment on the mountain with his 3 closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, and then along with Moses and Elijah, was very purposeful. Jesus is ushering in a new era of the kingdom of God. Now, much could be said about that, but here's what I want to focus on today. God's voice spoke very similar as he did on the day of Jesus' baptism. "This is my son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Now see, this was huge for Peter, James, and John, since they greatly revered the lives and the voices of Moses and Elijah from Scripture. But the voice in the cloud declared, "Someone greater is here." So God in fact, Moses and Elijah and the prophets, they were all pointing toward that coming special one, that coming Messiah, and that is Jesus. That's who is greater. So God emphatically declares, "Listen to Jesus." Those words are not only for those disciples then, but also for us. Listen to him does not mean to simply hear his words, but to fully integrate and live out his words and his life and all that Jesus was about. Listening to Jesus is to be in a place to receive his love and then to walk in his ways. To listen to Jesus is to be on mission with him in our daily lives. It's no coincidence then that the last words recorded by Jesus after his resurrection sounds kind of similar. You find these in Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." That is beautiful there, that even at the end of this command, of this going out to make disciples, Jesus affirms that his love for us and that I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And so this verbiage about going and making disciples of all nations, it literally means as you are going in your daily lives. So this declaration about go and make disciples of all nations, that is Jesus' mission. That is the mission of the global church. That is also the declared mission of Crossroads Christian Church. So when we say yes to Jesus, we are also saying yes to join Jesus in his mission. Another prominent place where Jesus spoke of this mission priority is when he taught his disciples and us about how to pray. This simple and powerful prayer, often called the Lord's Prayer, has been prayed for over 2,000 years by Christians around the world. Now, it is up to us whether or not we want to let this merely be a perfunctory prayer, meaning that we just recite it without much thought. I've been there, done that many times. Or will we let this prayer speak into the core of who we are and how we live our lives? We're only going to unpack the first half of it this morning. Our Father in heaven, hallowed is your name. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This prayer that Jesus taught was very different than how the early disciples had ever prayed. In fact, it was radically different. The Jewish disciples of Jesus had never prayed to God using the name Father, nor practiced that kind of relationship with God as Papa or Daddy, having that dimension. The Gentile or the non-Jewish disciples of Jesus would have never called any of their gods Father, but they only tried to appease them from their anger or to try to get blessings from them. So it was paradigm shifting for Jesus to usher in a whole new way for us to relate with God by inviting us to pray, Our Father. It was also paradigm shifting about our being on mission with God now as his sons and daughters. But I must admit, there are times when my understanding of God and his mission, it gets kind of foggy. It gets kind of messed up and out of focus. But the Lord's Prayer speaks truth, not only as we pray those words to God, but this prayer also then speaks truth towards us. This prayer helps me, helps each of us on a regular basis to realign our priorities in various ways. We must recognize that there may be times when we need to surrender afresh certain areas of our lives because they are not aligned with the kingdom of heaven. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To be on mission with God is to bring heaven to earth in all that we do. Now we know from Revelation 21, the glory of God will so fill heaven, there will not be any need for the sun or the moon. Are we waking up every day searching for ways to share the story of God with others so that the glory of God may be so on earth as it is in heaven? We know from Revelation 5 that heaven is made up of people from every tribe, language, and nation. Are we working toward befriending people who don't look like us, talk like us, or think like us, so that it may be so on earth as it is in heaven? We know from Revelation 21 that there's going to be no sickness or tears in heaven. Are we working toward bringing healing and hope in our neighbors, our neighborhoods, in our communities, so that it may be so on earth as it is in heaven? As we consider these realities of bringing heaven to earth, we must ask the question, God, how do you want me to join your mission so that earth may be more like heaven? Our neighbors, whether they are next door or across the city, they're too important to ignore because Jesus is the greatest news in the universe. So now, let's just pause for a moment and to be still with God and to ask him this question. God, how do you want me to join your mission so that earth may be more like heaven? Let's just be still here for a few moments. Oh, Father, thank you that we can trust your love and that we can trust you for who you made us to be. So may we just continue by the power of your Spirit to step into whatever areas of our lives, of your mission that you have for us. It is a privilege and an honor. Amen. Amen. Well, the beautiful thing is that as we are on mission with Jesus and bringing heaven to earth, we also become more and more like heaven, being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. In fact, we will be living and loving like Jesus. Well, speaking of living and loving like Jesus, I now want to invite our two friends to come join me on the stage as we kind of share, as they share some of their stories and how they found their fit in God's mission. So let's please welcome them to the stage. All right. Well, as Todd and Teresa are up here, they will very quickly say they do not have it all figured out. They're still on the journey of discovering and exploring, but they're being faithful in beautiful ways. And so we just love to have them kind of share some of that story and for us today. So first we're going to hear from Todd Neff, whom is a familiar face to many of us here at Crossroads, as you've seen him out in the atrium area as he's part of the security team for Crossroads. And I was going to going to share about how integrating his faith into his daily life and some other aspects. And then secondly, we'll be hearing from Teresa Fruit, or more affectionately known as Mama T, from all of the youth that she's been engaged with. Her cheering section's over there, yeah. And as all the years that she's worked with the youth of Crossroads and way into their being adults. So we're just thrilled to have you all here as you kind of share your stories. So Todd, we'll start with you. And so just kind of share a little bit about, you know, kind of your recent story and you're just coming to know Jesus in some new ways.
As Mark said, my name's Todd Neff. If some of you don't know me, I'm one of the deputies that works the security here. I've been in law enforcement. Thank you. So I've been in law enforcement for about 30 years. And so it's been a while. And a few years back, I had an issue, some problems with family life. And went through a dark period in my life because of it. And I blamed God for it, wrongly so. I shouldn't have done that, but I did. I kind of felt like I had fell into a mud hole. And I was just kind of rolling around this mud hole feeling sorry for myself. Fast forward just a little bit, and I came to Crossroads to work security, like these deputies are that you see out here today. And it was nothing more than a paycheck to me. I'm blaming God for what I'm going through. So I'm here to collect a paycheck. Well, I kind of felt God speaking to my heart through the folks here at Crossroads that I interacted with. It kind of felt like God was reaching out to me with his hand. He was saying, hey, when you get done rolling around in that mud, when you get done feeling sorry for yourself, here I am, take my hand, I'm with you. Come on, boy, it's time to step up to the plate. So I did. I grabbed God's hand, and I started my journey, and I ended up falling in love with Crossroads. Just felt like I was at home. And I ended up joining the church and getting baptized here.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So then, Todd, I know that then you then began that journey with Jesus, like, so how do I do life? How do I do my work? How do I do friendships? You know, all those different kinds of things. And so kind of speak into how you then you began integrating your faith into your life.
Okay. Well, one of the stories that comes to mind is a little while back, I had a young officer that came to me, and he had just recently become a Christian. And he asked a question of me that I had struggled with for a while myself. He asked me, he said, Todd, how do you separate your faith from your career as a law enforcement officer? And I'd struggled with that for a while myself, but I came up with the idea. It just came to me. You don't. You can't, okay? You can't be successful as a police officer without God in your life. You just can't do it, okay? You're fighting a losing battle. You've got to have God with you. And that's not just true of law enforcement, okay? That's true of any profession. Whatever you do for a living, I promise you, you need God in your life.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, and that integration, as you shared, that's just important for all of us because, you know, within our culture, it's very easy for us to kind of think, well, we just got to compartmentalize different things. And our lives and faith and work, all those are different boxes. And so I just want to affirm that we are growing together and how to fully integrate that together. And because, yes. So any other, so how else then have you kind of moved toward that integration in your life?
To integrate my faith into work, just one of the things that happened to me recently, you know, I try and be more like Jesus, like all of us do, you know, and try and love like Jesus. Jesus spoke with people that were damaged or people that were in a crisis situation. I deal with a lot of them. I'm in a unique position. I kind of deal with a lot of them at work. And not all of it's bad. You know, there are good people out there we deal with. And so recently I was on an accident scene, and people there were kind of upset, you know, about this crash. And when I got done handing them back their insurance information, did my paperwork, we just kind of got together there and had a little prayer. And it was not a bad crash. Nobody got hurt or anything like that, just some property damage. But we felt blessed because that we were grateful to God because nobody got hurt, you know. And we just felt blessed to be there.
Okay. Well, thank you, Todd, very much. And I'm just excited for you, just for your years ahead as you continue to integrate that within your work, within your personal life, and all different kinds of areas of your life. So that's great. Okay. Well, I'm a T. So I know that like Todd has kind of shared some things like kind of like outside the walls of Crossroads. Now we're going to talk about some things kind of inside the walls of Crossroads. And as I shared earlier, I know that you've been engaged with the youth at Crossroads for many years, but kind of tell us, how did you kind of get involved in that, and what does that look like in the past?
So Aslan saw me interacting with students, and so way a long time ago, and she'd asked me to join in Suntown, which is now Kids Church, with a small group. And so I have two daughters, and there's a grade in between them. And so what I did was I picked that grade so I could be a part of what my girls were doing, but I also didn't want to be directly involved because I wanted other adults here at this church to pour into my children. Mm-hmm. So then as they got older, I moved into middle school and took a small group. So I served alongside Mark and Tammy, and I stayed there for several years getting, you know, as starting with the sixth grade, going up through eighth grade. And then my girls that I have now are juniors and seniors. So I love getting to do life with them. It's just such an honor and privilege. And I just, you know, we are in the moment. So there's times where I have taught several children how to drive cars. I will, if we have downtimes, you know, or, you know, some moments that happen, then we go to Sonic and get ice cream, and I should own stock in Sonic, actually, because I go there so much. But do school activities with them, too. So, like I said, I get to do life with them. So yeah. It's such an honor to be able to
beautiful.
Do that.
That's beautiful. Yes. Yeah, she told... Tusa told us earlier this morning, said, yes, I got a text last night at 10:30 from some high school students wanting to go get ice cream. And then she thought, well, normally I would say yes, but no, maybe tonight I'm going to say no. I'm going to be on this panel.
I had to be responsible, I guess.
So then a little while back, you kind of just had a sense of transition kind of happen in your life, and you're kind of wondering how to navigate this within just how you were serving. And so let's kind of tell some of that story.
So I attend a lot of the activities and events that the youth do, and we were going to fall retreat, and the whole camp staff got sick, and so they came to me and said, hey, Mama T, will you cook? And that is something that I do in my everyday life, so of course I said, yes, I'll cook, because if any of the students know me, they know I say, no one goes hungry on my watch, so I will feed you. And so all weekend long, we cooked, and so that kind of like elevated the cooking potential there. So after we came back from retreat, they asked me to join the Snack Shack and cook for our youth events that we have on Sunday nights. So I started doing that and have just loved it. Jeremiah's put together a great team of adults who love to serve, and we just encourage each other. We support each other. It's like we're a family back there in the Snack Shack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how many people are you preparing food, helping prepare food for on Sunday nights?
So we prepare food for about 100 to 150 people. So we expect a lot of students. And so God is just so amazing how he's allowed me to do something that I do in my everyday life for my family. Mm-hmm. And I get to, you know, love on these students and show them Jesus. And, you know, just and the bonus part is that we just get to hang together. Mm-hmm. And so one thing that blesses my heart probably really more than anything is when these students come to me and they'll say, hey, Mama T, I made your salsa for my family, or, you know, or just where they'll take my recipes and you know, use it to help others. I even have, I've had college boys that have said, Mama T, I make your guacamole in my college dorm while we're doing Bible study. So, I mean, I love that.
Yeah.
You know, that they are doing what I teach them, because I get to teach them a life skill along with pouring into them, loving them, and showing them Jesus.
Amen, amen. And that's just so beautiful to see, because then they even then seeing your example of that can do that with others, you know, whether it's making guacamole or it's other parts of parts of that. So that's beautiful. And with that too, the thing I like about your story, Teresa, is that you know, you transitioned from serving in one way then to another way, but it just got tweaked and nuanced certain ways. And it's even now, it's like it has kind of freshened that all up for you. And that's just a normal process in our lives. When we serve and invest in certain ways, and there's certain seasons for one thing, but then all those other seasons for something different. But it's all just kind of stepping in, not thinking that we can only do one thing.
So, that's what's really cool about the leadership here at Crossroads is that they equip us or equipped me to be able to be me and mm-hmm. do what I'm able to do. So they support that, and I'm not alone.
That's right.
You know, they've got a whole team that helps. So.
Yes, yes. Well, that is great. Todd and Teresa, thank you so much, and we are very glad to have you with us. Yay. Okay.